Good morning. That was a great song we just sang. And scripture does remind us that if a seed doesn't die, it will never grow. So there's a point in our life where we need to surrender. We need to die to ourselves and give our lives to God and just give Him control. And you'll be amazed at what He can do. You know, yesterday morning when I woke up, I look out my window and I see the mountain and I am delirious. And when my wife wakes up, I said, Pat, you gotta see this, the mountains. And she's, okay. You know, it's been a few days since I've been able to view the gorgeous mountains in the north. And this morning when I woke up, I look up and I don't see the mountains. I'm not sad because I know it's not the smoke. It's like the weather, which happens a lot in Vancouver. So I'm just glad that the smoke is gone and we can enjoy the fresher air. But do keep in mind and keep in prayer the fire situation. It's so fluid, and there's still, I believe, over 6,000 people that are forced out of their home, living in shelters and families and other places. So besides giving, we need to be active in our prayers. I'm just wondering, what's the difference between those who last and those who don't? Why is it that one couple can be married for 60 years and another couple struggles to stay together after just a few? Two people struggle with an addiction and they both confess it, and one overcomes it and the other continues to struggle with it back and forth. Two people feel a call from God to enter full-time ministry. One ends up being a church planter, and the other one just gradually moves toward a more lucrative secular career. Two people are baptized. One of them follows Christ closely, and the other one just kind of fades away. What's the difference? Why do some people follow through on following Christ and others don't? Is it resolve? Is it effort? Is it church involvement? Or maybe it's the friends that you make at church. Simple answer could be, well, you know, we're all sinners. And until Jesus returns and we're in heaven with Him, then we will always continue to struggle with our sinful nature. But what's the difference of why some people make it through? You know, there's some things in life that you cannot do halfway. And I think living the Christian life is one of such things. And that's why I want to challenge you this morning to be a fully committed, to be a fully connected followers of Jesus Christ. As the title suggests, you're in it for the long haul. In your relationship with Christ. No matter how long you've been a Christian, there's something that you can do for Christ. How can God use you in this church in order to make a difference? Today I want to talk about how we can be committed and connected to Christ for the long haul. We're going to look at Jesus' teaching to His followers in John chapter 15. And you're going to discover that Jesus has some words, not just for His disciples, but for each one of us as well. Let's pray together. Can you stand with me as we pray this morning? Lord, we thank You. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Christ the Son. We believe in God the Holy Spirit. We believe You're three in one. Lord Jesus, this morning, as You bring us to Your banquet table, help us to taste the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God, and the truthfulness of God. Lead and guide each one of us, Lord, in our own way, in your own way, to a higher ground. Lord, we thank you for this time of worship. Thank you for the songs, the selection of songs that we sung this morning. Thank you for preparing our hearts. And thank you for this time that we can spend in your word. Be with us. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Here's what's happening in John chapter 15. Some background. This night when Jesus had just washed the feet of his disciples and they had the supper, the last supper together. They don't know that this is the night that Jesus is going to be arrested. And Judas just discreetly dismisses himself and no one knows where he's going. And he's going off to make a deal in order to secretly betray his friend Jesus. Well, the disciple stays around and Jesus teaches a little more. And then they head over to the Garden of Gethsemane. That's where he will be betrayed and arrested after a time of prayer. And on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane, I think Jesus walks by a vineyard. And that becomes the crux of his teaching, his application with his disciples in this all-crucial night in their lives. John 15 doesn't just call and inspire us to make a long-haul commitment. It actually shows us how. Here's that point on the PowerPoint. Long-term fulfillment bears fruit and brings fulfillment. You know, when you're faithful over the long haul, it will always bear fruit and bring fulfillment in your life. You'll have joy because of the way you serve. John 15 is all about being in it for the long haul in your relationship with Christ. And the first way that Jesus tells us how we can make a long-term impact is, number one, connect to the source. It's clearly stated in verse 1. Look at verse 1. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. You all know that there are 7 I am statements of Jesus that John records in his gospel. Every I am statement that Jesus makes is an assertion, is a declaration that he is deity. That he is God in the flesh. He says, I am the true vine. Jesus is establishing the fact that he is the ultimate source for growth. Now, everyone in the first century could relate to this illustration of a vine because it's very common. And they understood that it was something that thrived and flourished. It was cared for properly. It could produce a huge crop. And Jesus points out in this first verse, he says, I am the true vine. And he tells us who the gardener is. He says, my heavenly Father is the gardener. He is the one who takes care of the vine. Verse 2, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful, so that it will bear more fruit. You know, there's a value to pruning. You know, when a farmer or a gardener prunes something, it might look devastating, but it produces a larger crop in the months to come. You know, my neighbor, he's quite the gardener, and he has spent a lot of money buying expensive plants, flowers, shrubs, and his garden is just beautiful. I'd say he has a green thumb when it comes to gardening. And I have no thumbs when it comes to gardening. And I remember watching him prune his fig tree last year. It wasn't a very big fig tree to start with, but I watched him cut away the branches and I said, dude, what are you doing? Like he was like, well, there was not much left. But you know, obviously he knew what he was doing. Because right now, it's bearing lots of figs right now. Jesus knows that, and he points that out to us. He says, God, the gardener, the vineyard keeper, knows exactly what you need. That's what he does when he prunes. He knows what's best for us. Who knows us better than the one who created us in his image? And so Jesus is saying, you need to connect. You need to attach yourself to the source. How do you do that? Well, I think one way we do that is by praying, by talking to God. You know, your prayer does not have to be flowery. You don't have to use impressive language. You're not praying for someone so that they can hear you pray. You're praying because of your close walk with God. You know, prayer is just a conversation between two people who love each other. So when something comes up, you pray on behalf of that person or that individual. I'm just wondering, do you ever pray intentionally? Do you pray specifically for your neighbor? For your neighborhood, maybe? Do you pray for your city that's apparently going through a fentanyl overdose crisis? Do you pray for the governments, municipal, provincial, federal? Do you pray for your church? You know, that video, the day-night camp. I mean, it's an amazing ministry for kids. Do you pray for that? Do you pray for outreaches? Do you pray for your pastors, your missionaries? You know, I believe one of the core values of this church is a commitment to prayer. If you're a part of this church, you need to commit to prayer. And our text reminds us that we need to grow in prayer. That's part of our worship of the Lord. And here's why Jesus said that. He says, you need to pray, because apart from me, you can do nothing. You can't do one single thing apart from me. So I think it'd be wise for us to invite Christ to have his involvement and his intervention in our faith communities, into all facets of each of our lives. We need to see prayer as a long-term solution to all the issues in our lives and communities. Second, in order for us to be in the long haul, to be in it for the long haul, we need to stay connected. See, well, that's obvious. Goes without saying. But you know, it's evident it's not true in a lot of people's lives, because there are a lot of people who just kind of walk away from the faith and they just fade out in the Christian life. And so Jesus is going to remind us, along with his disciples, that the strength comes from the source. And we have to stay attached to him. Look at verses 4-6. One word kind of stands out. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into fire, and burned. And when Jesus uses the word remain, or maybe abide in a different translation, it's not just some random word that he picked out. There's a reason why he used it 10 times in the few verses that we'll be reading. And all the languages that Jesus uses here are long-term expressions. Remain, abide, is a long-haul word. Jesus is telling his disciple at this crucial point in his life and ministry, the fact that he'll be crucified the next day, what it's going to take to live a life devoted to Him. And He chooses the word remain. He chooses the word abide because it doesn't happen quickly. You know, salvation happens when you give your life to Christ. Romans 10:9 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Salvation is very simple, very easy. But the rest of your saved life is spent developing a life in fostering a faith that will produce fruit. And that power, that life, comes from being attached to the vine. I was told that just outside London, England, in a place called the Hampton Court Palace, there's a grapevine called the Great Vine. It's almost 250 years old. It was planted back in 1768. Today, it measures 13 feet around the base of the vine. And the longest branch is over 120 feet long. They care for it meticulously. It's a tourist attraction. The average crop of black desert grapes is about 600 pounds. That's a lot of grapes. Back in 2001, it yielded a record crop of 845 pounds. They do their pruning in late winter or early spring, and they continue to prune it. Why? Because they know it will produce more fruit. It will continue to grow because they have gone to painstaking length to ensure that it remains attached to the vine. How about you? In your daily life, could the same be said of you? Jesus said, I'm the vine, and life comes from me. We need to acknowledge our dependence on Him. Are you diligently staying attached to the source? Are you allowing Him to prune things away in your life? It's not always easy when God does that, but it's necessary in order for you to bear fruit. You know, in a few weeks, some of you are going back to school. Not a happy topic. But when you get there, will you intentionally and boldly make it known that you're a Christian? Or are you just going to start to detach from the source and move closer to the world? Maybe in your workplace, your boss wants to see if there's any wiggle room when it comes to your integrity, whether you see things as black and white, or maybe there's some gray areas that he or she can explore. Maybe you've been married for some time, but now marriage seems more like fights than fulfillment, and friction more than fun. And you start to think about, maybe I'll be better if I was detached instead of attached. Maybe some of you or someone you know or someone you love is facing a health issue, a health struggle. And Satan is putting doubts in your head. And he says, this is how a loving God treats his followers. This is his payback, his thanks for all that you've done for him. How are you going to respond? Will you move back in anger? Or will you move closer in faith? Are you a follower of Christ for the long haul? I hope you notice what Jesus said in the first verse. He says, I am the true vine. And he used the word true, indicates that there are other vines that are not true. They look like they're life-giving and empowering, but they're not. They promise something that they can't deliver. That's why we need to remember and understand that the Christian life is really a marathon. It's not a sprint. And, you know, simply put, if you're not close to the source, if you're not close to Jesus, it's going to be very difficult for you to make an impact in the life of others, to make a difference in the life of others. But if you grow and you connect and you attach to Jesus, you can help others grow. Here's what you'll have to do. You'll have to take the focus off yourself. You know, you can't bear fruit when you're consumed with your own wants and your own needs. You know, something happens when you take the focus off yourself and you put your focus on other people. It brings you joy. It brings you fulfillment. And in the process, you'll bear some fruit. You know, I think we need to, within all the churches, we need to create a culture where serving is the norm, not the exception. When Christians see a need, they step up and they just serve, knowing that they'll receive no applause, no money, no praise, no recognition. You know, when I was watching the video there, I realized there's a lot of work in preparing for such a camp. And the people that are involved, the young people, the leaders, they're really stepping up. And I'm so glad to see that, because you never know, in one day, one year, one of these child, some of these children could be greatly used by God. And it's all because of what you have put in and how you stepped up. So when you serve, when you volunteer, whether it's the children's or teens or youth or women or Alpha or whatever ministry this church has, I hope it's for the long haul. It's not just a one-time affair, but you are committed to serve. So for us to be in it for the long haul, we need to connect to the source. We need to stay connected to the source. And thirdly, we need to continue to cultivate the relationship. Verses 8 to 14. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. So the byproduct here is God's joy. Verse 12, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friend if you do what I command. Jesus said, joy will happen. Joy will flourish if you're obedient in loving others. Love is a natural byproduct of staying connected to Jesus. And the closer you are to him, the more natural it will be for you to love others. God is counting on his followers not just to bear fruit, but to bear much fruit as a result of our closeness to him. For that to happen, we need to put the emphasis on God. We need to put the emphasis on others and not on ourselves. You know, when we serve, we just want to connect people to Christ. That's the whole objective. All you need to do is just use the gift that God has given you. Help people to connect to Christ. And in the process, produce fruit. You don't want to be like a sponge and absorb everything. You know, you come to church every Sunday. You go to Sunday school every Sunday and you absorb everything. You know, a soaking wet sponge is not very effective in cleaning up a spill. You know, you need to squeeze it out so that it can soak in more liquid. What you know about Christ, what you have in Christ, needs to be squeezed out of you so that others can taste and experience the goodness of God. We're encouraged and challenged throughout Scripture to serve and use the gift to build up the body of Christ. And look at how Jesus concludes this section. Verse 16, he says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." So here's what happened when we cultivate our relationship with God. Here's the progression. We will bear fruit. We will bear much fruit. And we will bear fruit that will last. You know, when we truly see God for who He is, it changes everything about who we are. Are you in it for the long haul? God is definitely committed to you. Are you committed to Him? Following Him is a lifelong journey, and all our journeys are very different. And the mission won't be easy. It will take sacrifice. It will take dedication. And really, no one of us can do it alone. So we need to stand together as the body of Christ. We need to stand united and give it everything that we got. Serve together, love together, give together, pray together. We need to take hold of the abundant life that He promised us and just go all in. We are in it for the long haul. Amen? Let's pray. God, we thank You. Thank You for Your amazing grace. Thank You for Your unfailing love, that You would take my place, that You would bear my cross, that You would lay down Your life that I can be set free. Thank You, Lord, that love came down and rescued me and all of us. Love came down and set me free and all of us here this morning. I'm Yours, Lord. I am forever Yours. So, Lord, may we take up Your challenge this morning, and we will bear witness. We will bear fruit for You. Not because of what we can do, but what You can do through us. So Lord, we surrender to You, all of us. Have control. Help us be a living sacrifice. In Your precious name we pray.